Welcome to the daily VFN Radio Highlights, where we're keeping the conversation light at VFNTV.com. Enjoy.
Well, we are going to be talking, we're talking about, you know, nations and, you know, the word nations, where Jesus says that the sign of his coming will be nation
against nation,
against fighting against nation. Mm-hmm. And that word nation is where we get the word ethnos or ethnic group. So ethnic group will be fighting against ethnic group, or, you know, race, race wars. And it's like, it's just always been interwoven in culture for some reason. Even the Samaritan woman that was by the well, you know, some of the Jews were going like, what are you doing talking to,
talk
her?
To her?
She's
yeah.
made up different races. And Jesus said, ho, wait a minute. Yeah. And he says, that's not God. We're all created in the image and the likeness of God.
Right.
We're actually all made from dirt.
That's
when you think about it. I remember Pastor John Kilpatrick talking about that years ago when he was ministering at Brownsville Assembly. He said, we're made from spit and dirt. Right? God,
that's right.
You know, when God went to go create man, he formed us from the field, from the dust of the earth, and then he breathed life into us. But when he went to go heal the man's eyes, remember what he did?
He spit in the dirt
and rubbed it in his eyes. And he looked past the pigment of somebody's skin and look at the beautiful human being that they are. But right now, when you hear about anti-Semitism, what that really is, it's better just to say what it is, because people don't understand that word. It's been so minimalized by these smear campaigns. It means being racist towards a Jew just because they're Jewish. And you don't want to do that, because, you know, this is what God said. This is where I set my land. This is where I set my eye. This is where I set my heart. They're his chosen people in regards to what he's doing, showing himself mighty. Mm-hmm. I mean, they're wonderful people. If you haven't seen what Israel is doing, the Jews are doing for the world, but because of the spirit that comes across the land, as a matter of fact, Hananiah Naftali, our unofficial field reporter from Jerusalem, recently went to Germany. And he's starting to, he's a Jew, so he's looking around thinking, why of all the places that I go to worship at, or my fellow Jewish brothers go to worship at, that why is there so much security here?
Was there security anywhere else?
Yeah, and it's anti-Semitism, where people are trying to attack the Jews in these different lands. As a matter of fact, let's go listen to Naftali now from Jerusalem.
Anti-Semitism is not a fairy tale. It's alive and it's ugly. Okay, so I didn't really get a chance to make a video about it, but almost 2 months ago, I went to Germany and Poland. I spoke there about Israel to encourage and educate Europe to get to know the real Israel. It was amazing. I mean, the food, the people, and the fact that I rode the ATV for the first time in my life. But here's the thing. While I was traveling in Europe, I visited synagogues, Jewish communities, and I noticed that they all had this one specific thing in common. Security. The police was guarding literally every synagogue I have visited in Europe. And the question is, why do Jews need protection? I mean, 6 million Jews were murdered in the Holocaust. 6 million human beings were murdered because of anti-Semitism. And today, in 2017, anti-Semitism is still alive. Hate towards Jews is not a fairy tale, it's alive and it's kicking. Why mosques don't need protection? Why churches don't need protection? Why Jews are the only ones who still need protection today? Why do I, a Jew, still get messages and comments that say that Jews are dogs, I'm a pig, and that I should die? We must take a stand, because Jews should feel protected wherever they are, because we are human beings just like everyone else. Anti-Semitism is so wrong, and we can't be silent about it. I encourage you to take a step forward. As hate is alive towards Jews, let's share the love of Jews. Remain in God. Love you.
Remain in God, love you. That's so important. Can you imagine, here you are, and you know, people, it happens all around the world, where people start hating on people just because of their ethnicity or their...
Because they're different.
Because they're different.
Yeah.
And he's saying, we got to stand up for this. And we should always stand up when we start seeing hate and bigotry and these different things. And just because somebody says there's bigotry and hate doesn't mean there is. Quite often, the person that's saying that, behind that person is hate and bigotry and that type of thing, but it's actually acceptance of everyone in regards to what's going on. I think about, you know, at 23 years old, that Naftali, he had to actually experience this. Mm-hmm. And he's saying, you need to speak out now. Because history says, you know, what happened during the time of Hitler and, you know, Goebbels and all the things that was going on with, you know, minimalizing the Jewish people in Germany and wanted to extinguish the Jewish people, the night of Kristallnacht, when all of a sudden they began to turn against the businesses and turn against, I mean, it was a rapid thing. I think it was like 7 months, Steve. You got to get this book. The book is Dietrich Bonhoeffer.
Prophet, Martyr, Spy.
Yes. You know, we read that book. You got to read that book because you'll see what happened to him. Like just 7 months to minimalize the Jews, begin to take them out of the workplace, put them in ghettos, bring them out in trains and end them up at camps and begin to kill them. It's like, how could that happen in 7 months? It did happen. And so Naftali's right. You know, Hanani is right. He's saying, listen, we've got to stand up and speak out against those things and in support of our brothers and sisters and our fellow Jewish brothers that are there. And he's a messianic believer. He loves Jesus. But he's right there in Jerusalem. He served in the Israeli Defense Force.
Yep.
And speaking of that, you know, I know you served in the military. I served in the military. And Hananiah served in the military. But, you know, everybody talks about these national forces. These national forces. Mm. You know, what they're really saying is the United Nations. You know, if we just put the United Nations in, that they'll protect things. And they're wanting Israel to give up the Jordan banks, right? The
Jordan Valley.
And say, we'll just send the United Nations in there to protect them. And this is every single time, Steve. Every single time they sent the United Nations in to be able to come in and do something, right at the moment they needed the nations the most to stand with them, they pulled out.
When Israel needed the United Nations the most.
Yes.
The United Nations troops would flee where they were told to be.
It's like a setup.
Yeah.
It's like, think about the unstoppable voting block where it has a majority of communist and Muslim nations who work together to vote against Israel all the time in the United Nations. And I think about Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu when he came and he spoke to the United Nations a couple years ago and he just stared everybody down and said, what are you doing?
Stare down.
The whole purpose of the United Nations was to stop that actually from happening again. You got to take a look at this because this is actually looking firsthand of why you can't trust the United Nations to be the ones to be able to defend really anything, but definitely not to defend Israel. I thank God for our ambassador, Nikki Haley.
Nikki Haley.
And she is staunch.
There's a new leadership in town. What was tolerated yesterday is no longer tolerated today.
That is so good. Let's take a look right now. Think about it. So this is the Jordan Valley, which is on the side of the mountains. That's how they protect Israel. And they're wanting to take that over United Nations. We don't want the United Nations doing anything but actually, they could go home. I probably would do a lot better.
You could probably just remove it.
Yeah, I don't know. They might do that. They might be funded. I don't know. Let's take a look now.
Should Israel withdraw its military from the Jordan Valley and rely on international forces for its security? Some politicians and diplomats around the world say yes. But 70% of Israelis say no. Who's right? Egypt. After the Suez Crisis, the United Nations Emergency Force, UNEF, is deployed in the Sinai Peninsula. Its mission, securing the cessation of hostilities, ensuring freedom of navigation in the Strait of Tiran, and serving as a buffer between Israel and Egypt. However, in May 1967, Egypt masses its army on Israel's border and closes the Strait of Tiran. UNEF retreats. The stage is set for the outbreak of the Six-Day War. Lebanon, 1978. After repeated armed attacks against Israel by terrorist organizations operating from southern Lebanon and Israeli defensive actions, the United Nations Interim Force in Lebanon, UNIFIL, is established. Its mission, restoring peace and security and the effective authority of the Lebanese government. However, UNIFIL fails to stop the flow of hostile forces from entering southern Lebanon and fails to stop the terrorist attacks against Israel. Two wars ensue in 1982 and 2006. In 2000, UNIFIL troops observe Hezbollah's cross-border attack on Israel and the kidnapping of three Israeli soldiers, but do nothing to stop the attack. In 1983, Iran orders Hezbollah to attack the multinational force in Beirut. 241 American servicemen and 58 French paratroopers are killed. The multinational force withdraws completely within 6 months. 2006, UNIFIL is upgraded with European troops and weapons in order to implement UN Security Council Resolution 1701. Its mission, to stop Hezbollah activity south of the Litani River and help implement a weapons embargo on the organization. However, UNIFIL does nothing to stop the rearmament of Hezbollah.
We are at a point now where Hezbollah has far more rockets and missiles than most governments in the world.
Gaza, 2005. After Israel pulls out of Gaza, European monitors are stationed on the Gaza-Egypt border. Their mission, to prevent weapons smuggling into Gaza. However, in 2006, as Hamas begins its takeover of Gaza, the Europeans flee their positions. Iranian and Libyan weapons flow into the arsenals of Hamas, Islamic Jihad, and Al-Qaeda affiliates, and are fired at Israeli population centers. By June 2007, their operations are officially suspended. Syria. The United Nations Disengagement Observer Force, UNDOF, is established in the Golan Heights following the Yom Kippur War. Its mission, to maintain the ceasefire between Israel and Syria. However, in 2013, as the Syrian civil war intensifies, Austria, Croatia, India, and the Philippines retreat. The repeated failure of international forces to maintain peace and security goes well beyond the Middle East. Peacekeeping forces from the US and Europe dispatched to Somalia, Bosnia, and Rwanda have ultimately retreated when attacked, allowing a bloodbath to follow. Since 1967, the Jordan Rift Valley has served as a formidable geographic barrier, protecting Israel and the front line of its defense in the east. The Israeli army has been deployed along its steep slopes, thwarting terrorist infiltration and deterring potential attacks from hostile armies. This critical zone cannot be turned over to international forces that have consistently proven to be ineffective, unreliable, and quick to retreat from conflict zones. Israel's national ethos has always been one of self-reliance, and it has never requested that its allies shed their soldiers' blood for its defense. History leads us to the unmistakable conclusion: Israel must defend itself by itself.
That's so important to understand. Notice that every single time when they said they're going to protect Israel, right in the moment when the battle was at its hottest, they would back out. But if you understand, we talk about the unstoppable voting block where the Muslim nations and the communist nations came together against Israel, they have an unstoppable voting block. But what America has is a financial block. We fund the whole thing almost, fund a significant part of it. And we talk about defunding, you know, the United Nations no longer paying that part of it. And we have to stand there for them. So United Nations is never going to stand up for Israel when the rubber hits the road. They've proven it again and again and again and again. So Israel has to protect themselves.
Yeah.
But I think about this. I think about the book again.
The smear,
you know, by Cheryl Atkinson.
Atkinson,
where right now the leader of Israel, Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu, and his wife Sarah, they're trying to smear these guys. These guys are excellent people. They are just a blessing actually carried the narrative, a healthy narrative for the world for quite some time during the last 8 years.
And reports are that they're being indicted for like public funds.
Well, lie. Some of the reports are, it's a lie. It's a smear.
Right.
And you got to read this book to really understand it.
Understands that.
Because they say you can't do away with the truth, but you got to find the best communicator of the truth and take them out
and smear them.
And that keeps the truth from you. You want to keep people. They're not perfect. Nobody's perfect. Everybody wants to be smeared, but you don't want to get rid of the truth bearer, right?
And when you look at that too, and you look at that on a specific sense, one like micro, but when you look at globally, that's the BDS movement,
which is boycott, divestment, and sanctions against Israel.
Anything like businesses, products, and it's just like you're hearing this so global. It's just like why is it? It's like the world problem, oh, it's Israel's fault. Oh, it's Israel's fault. And they're just trying to build that narrative.
YouTube actually blocks any video content at all that have to do with anything about Israel.
Right.
It's automatically
blocked. Automatically.
You know? And so there's some sort of, you know, it's a smear campaign. Obviously, Israel, if you see what they do, we had a couple programs about it. The medical devices you use, technology that you're using,
agriculture
that you're using,
energy, business.
It is like the Silicon Valley of the Middle East.
Blessing their enemies.
Yeah, blessing the enemies, giving. They're just good. They go even help people that are trying to kill them. They go and help them when they get wounded and bring them into their hospitals. It's all a smear campaign. The Israeli people, the Jewish people, it's a fine nation and people. If you're going to be hurt, you want to be there. They're going to take care of you.
You've just been listening to the highlights from VFN TV and the Data Radio program, where we're keeping the conversation light. Listen or watch more programs and check out the VFN Torch at VFNTV.com. Don't forget about our VFN TV app, where no matter where you are, you can take the light with you and share with your friends. We want to thank our sponsors and partners who make this program possible. Take the time and support our sponsors. You can locate them at VFNTV.com and select sponsors. If you'd like to become a sponsor or a partner, you can do so at VFNTV.com. VFN TV and the Daily Radio Program, where we're keeping the conversation light.